it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. Trubisky to the 42-yard line. Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Craywood, too. He did it. He did it. Steamboat's leg muscle. And Flair has done it. Flair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with me with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood, or on Instagram, IGJHood. On the program tonight, we'll get a chance to hear from you regarding the Bears and the Bulls for sure. We got a lot of conversation that we're going to have as we keep you company here until 10 o'clock. But we'll get a chance to have a conversation with Trevor Maddich, who covers college football like a blanket for ESPN.com. We'll talk to him coming up at our 9 o'clock hour. Malika Andrews will stop by. She covers the NBA and the Bulls for ESPN.com. We'll hear from her coming up at 9:35. And, of course, we have to do a wellness check because my guy, Gerard Cherry, he's a three-time Super Bowl champion. You think if he's got three rings that he's all good, right? No problems, three rings. No. Now, Gerard Cherry's got some issues because he is a talk show host at ESPN Cleveland, our sister station. So, not an interview, but a wellness check on my guy, Gerard Cherry, because of all the nonsense that's been going on in Cleveland. Firing their head coach, not only with the Cavaliers, but also with the Browns. So we'll hear from Gerard Cherry coming up at 8:10 right here on ESPN 1000. We've got Tales from the Hood and plenty of time for your phone calls as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hope that you had a great Tuesday as we keep you company here until 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. A couple things before we kind of dive into what happened on the West Side last night. Ian Rappaport is reporting this, that Bears standout guard Kyle Long is out 6 to 8 weeks with a foot injury suffered on Sunday. He's getting more info, but that's the best estimate right now. A tough loss for that offense on the field and in the locker room. So that is from Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network. I will tell you this, that one of the things that really is huge for any team is leadership. And when you work so closely together with your teammates, you want to be able to have people available. You want them to be healthy. You want them to battle with you every single day, every single Sunday, of course, if we're talking about the NFL and talking about football. But for Kyle Long, here's a guy here that is a standout for this Bears team. He provides leadership for this team. And if he is going to be out for that amount of time, that's going to hurt the offensive line. There's no doubt about it. As we talk so much about Trubisky and we talk so much about his development and whether or not he's getting the job done, if he's not getting the job done, I think the key is that in order for Trubisky to be able to get better every single week is that he needs to have a strong offensive line to give him time to do whatever he's going to do back there. Whether he's going to hand the ball off to Tariq Cohen or Jordan Howard, whether he's going to get the ball down the field to his receivers, or if he's going to run, he needs time to do all of that. And so I think that when it comes to Kyle Long, what he has played so many different positions at that offensive line, and he's done everything he could to be able to stay healthy and try to help this team. If he is going to be out for that amount of time, that's going to be tough. That's for sure. So all the best to Kyle Long, because that guy, whether it's on social media or to the media, he will tell you how he really feels, doesn't hold back, but also just a really terrific player and some good vibes for Kyle Long, a really good player, really has shown himself as a terrific pro since coming out of college and being with this Chicago Bears team. The other thing, too, about the Bears I just want to point out to you is that in yesterday's show, it was some interesting conversations with a number of our callers on our Bear Down Monday show. Talking about how you look at the Bears through the first seven games of the season. And if you take a look at the ebb and flow of the season, like I have, you see the beginning of the game against the Packers and how they play in the first half and how they looked really good because it's an offense we hadn't seen in Chicago probably ever. The way they razzle dazzle the offense is happening under Matt Nagy. We hadn't seen an offense like that. And so, obviously, in the first half, it took the Packers a little bit by surprise. It took Chris Collinsworth a little bit by surprise because you know the RPO system when you see it because Kansas City has been running it with Matt Nagy as the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid. So it was just a little bit of adjustment for all of us to see how that offense was going to work. And then, of course, the Packers were able to adjust, and Aaron Rodgers coming off the gurney pretty much to be able to help the Packers win that game 24-23. A winnable ball game, but then adjustments were not made. The Packers were able to win that first game. And then from there, you look at the Seahawks game, Monday Night Football, where the Bears were able to get it done against a very, very good offense under Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson. Anytime Russell Wilson is there, you know that they always have a chance. Maybe he doesn't have the same running game. Maybe he doesn't have the same weapons. But Russell Wilson is a terrific quarterback for the Seahawks. The Cardinals were a team that was beatable, and the Bears won that game. They took on the Buccaneers, and whether or not Jameis Winston was quarterback or whether it was Fitzmagic, it didn't matter. The Bears were just clicking on all cylinders offensively, and they won that ball game. A couple losses here against the Dolphins. Again, a winnable ball game. What Brock Osweiler is the quarterback and how the offense did enough for the Dolphins to win, and the Dolphins were able to pull it out at the end. And then the game against the Patriots, I think it came down to more than just one play. I just think that the Bears just left a lot of plays on the field on both sides of the football. And also you can mention special teams as well. And they end up losing the ball game by 7. So then they beat the Jets on Sunday. And so there were some callers yesterday were talking about how they were not impressed by the Bears' resume. And my thought on that was, well, it doesn't really matter who you beat. It's who you beat. It doesn't matter who you beat. It doesn't matter, you know, you look at the schedule and you say, okay, is this a winnable game? Yes. Is this a winnable game? Yes. It doesn't matter who you beat. It doesn't matter when you beat them, as long as you win. That's my bottom line of that. Doesn't matter who you beat. It all depends on if you're able to win that game. People were looking at the Jets game this past Sunday and looking at it as if, well, you know, the Bears are supposed to beat the Jets, so where's the real test? The test is that you've got to get better every single week. And it wasn't like I was overwhelmed by the offense on Sunday, because you go back and look at the box score, you take a look at the game, as I watched earlier this morning, watching it again. I mean, it wasn't like Trubisky was overwhelming again offensively. He was not. The best that we've seen from him is the Tampa game. You and I both know that. But looking at what the Bears did against the Jets, they did enough to win. It's so hard to win in this league. And it's not about style points with this Bears team at all. If you're looking at the Bears based on style points, then you're looking at the wrong thing. You probably should look at college football more often, because that's about style points. It's about trying to get up the polls. When it comes to the Bears and the NFL, anytime you can win a ball game, you do what you can to win. So we talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So the Bears with their victory against the Jets 24-10, you do what you can to be able to win a ball game. And so now the next game is the Bills. And of course, the Bills did not look good against the New England Patriots last night on Monday Night Football. And so now the red carpet is rolled out for the Bears to be able to get even better next week and taking on the Bills on November 4th. And more than likely, the Bears are going to win that ball game. But you don't look at the Bears with a side eye and say, well, it's just the Jets, it's just the Bills. I mean, who are they really beating? The Bears are not going to take on Alabama. Okay, they're not going to take on Clemson. We cannot look at Bears football like college football fans look at strength of schedule, because strength of schedule does not matter in the NFL. What matters is that no matter who's on the schedule, you got to win those games. Could you imagine if the Bears were lost against Sam Darnold and the Jets on Sunday? Think about that for a second. Think about how our Bears Monday would have been if the Bears have lost 3 in a row. Lost to the Dolphins, winnable game. Lost to the Patriots, and then lost against the Jets. Now, this is coming from me, where I looked at them as a 7-win ball club. And so they're at 4-3 right now. So I'll take anything they can, because to me, it's an accelerated rate for this Bears team for what they've been doing so far. So I think that's how I look at things. It's kind of funny how people look at this, this Bears resume and say, well, look who they beat. Well, did you even know the Bears were even good enough to beat the Cardinals or the Bucks or the Seattle Seahawks or even the Jets? Did you even know that coming into the season? I mean, when we're looking at the schedule, despite what you might think of Trubisky, despite what you might think of the defense before Khalil Mack got here, there was not a lot of people that are very optimistic about the Bears, and rightfully so. Because in year one of a new system, you never know what you're going to see. You don't know if it's going to be a Rams-like renaissance with a football team. It could be as bad as San Francisco. It could be as good as the Rams. But it's the NFL. You just never know. No matter the personnel that you might root for, you don't know if that's going to be the team that's going to have the arrow pointing up. And at this point in time, I think the arrow's pointing up for the Bears. They're in first place right now, 4-3, in a very interesting NFC North. So I'm looking forward to seeing more. But I'm just not going to disparage the Bears based on their schedule and look at them and say, well, look who they've beaten. Well, I mean, there's some things that the Bears need to work on both sides of the football still. I expected that in year one. I expect that now with them being 4-3 in first place in the NFC North. Let me move on to something else here, because when we look at the disaster last night, what a disaster for the Bulls last night, right? I was hosting and watching the game on our Bears Down Monday show in awe of the Golden State Warriors and how the Dubs continue to overwhelm the Bulls with three-point shot after three-point shot after three-point shot. The Golden State Warriors all-star swingman Klay Thompson set an NBA record by knocking down 14 three-pointers in Monday night's 149-124 win against the Bulls. Klay Thompson, for those of you that's been under a rock, 14 for 24 from beyond the arc, 18 for 29 from the field, racking up 52 points in 27 minutes while raining down shots from all over the floor. So you want to know what it takes to be a great basketball team? It was on full display last night, was it not? The Bulls are light years, underline that word, light years, away from looking anything like that. The Bulls are so far behind from as far as organization, as far as talent, they're so far behind Golden State, it's not even funny. But for those that have not watched Golden State, and I'm watching them as often as possible on the NBA package, I'm watching excellence. We're watching a team that's so deep that when they lose, it's a surprise. And so you saw the Bulls, and it doesn't matter if you're the most ardent Bulls fan there is. The point is that now you know what it takes to be a great basketball team. Because it starts with an organization, it starts with a culture, and then talent will come. This is the era of the NBA now. It's one thing to say, I have a market in Chicago, there's a market in New York, there's a market in Dallas, there's a market in Houston, here's one in Los Angeles, here's one in Portland, here's one in Miami, and you can just keep choosing where you want to play. But it's one thing to have teams and logos and fans in an arena, but if you don't have a culture, you have nothing. This is why when we get to free agency every summer, you have fans that have that are wringing their hands, so much consternation about, well, how come free agents won't come to Chicago? How come we are not in the mix for this guy or that guy or this A-list free agent or this A-list free agent? You know why? Because no matter how big your city is, if you do not, or if you're not a desirable location as far as your organization, people won't come. Agents won't come. Top-notch players won't come. And then you see what's happening in Oakland / San Francisco, where they're going to move into a new stadium. That's a desirable location. You know why? Because it's about an organization. That's what it comes down to. I don't understand how the Bulls continue to get punched in the mouth and not do anything about it yesterday. The defense wasn't tight enough. There was no physical play by the Bulls. They just laid down and allowed it to happen at the United Center last night. They laid down and took it repeatedly by the Warriors last night. How does that happen? You know how that happens? Is because the effort or lack thereof by the Bulls really mirror the organization in so many different ways, in which you just allow these things to happen. Besides Clay's heroics, you know the thing that was most glaring is that the Bulls surrendered 92 points in the first half. 92 points in the first half. Everyone is like talking about Klay Thompson and all those threes. How about surrendering 92 points in the first half? How awful is that? It's the worst. I was saying last night as we were watching in real time, I said, while Steve Kerr is laying back in his lawn chair and not even getting up to coach the team because the team is getting the job done without, you know, real assistance and real coaching, I would have been like a third base coach with the windmill, moving my arms around like, get up and down the floor, get up and down the floor, because if I'm him, I would have wanted to see 100 points in the first half. That's, I would have been the third base coach whipping my arm around saying, get up and down the floor, let's get to 100. If the Bulls are not going to try, then we got to keep pushing the ball. That's exactly how I would have done it. I would have been entertained as the head coaches to see the Bulls just lay down and take it and just surrender 92 points in the first half. You think about 92 points, some high school teams, that needs, you need 4 or 5 games to get to 92 points. And some college teams need a couple of games to get to 92 points. And they scored it in the first half and with very, very little resistance. And then there's Fred Hoiberg, the head coach for the Bulls. The first question was, are you worried about the kind of a hangover from this game?
Well, you can't. And, you know, again, I just look back at this week, the way we bounced back after the embarrassing loss at Charlotte, you know, to bounce back and find a way to get the next one. That's our mentality going into tomorrow. We got to get better. We got to get back to work. We have to learn from it and hopefully come out and play with much more intensity on Wednesday night.
Fred was asked, did someone need to get physical?
Well, that's the grit and the edge that I'm talking about is, you know, you got to find a way to dig in. You know, this team has had huge leads and, you know, teams have kept playing and come back. Last night was an example of that. When they got up 19 on Brooklyn, they came all the way back and had a chance to win the game. We didn't do that, Joe. And, you know, again, that's why you saw the score down 40 at half.
And, of course, the Coupe de Gracie, everybody. What did you say after the game?
I mean, it's pretty simple. Sam, we got our ass kicked, and that's the bottom line. And, you know, give them credit. They came out. They were the more aggressive team right from the jump. And, you know, again, we have to learn from this. We have to learn. We have to get better. We can't have those stretches. We're not good enough.
And don't call me Sam. That's exactly what happened last night, everybody. There it was. We got our ass kicked. Okay, now what? What are you going to do for an encore? You'll kick somebody else's ass in the next game against Denver tomorrow night? Probably not. Hoiberg talked about a lack of edge and effort. The Warriors started Thompson, Curry, Durant, Green, and Damian Jones, and the Bulls on the other side had a team that was not ready to compete against them. It's almost like intimidation when the Warriors come on the floor, all those championships, and then the Bulls at home having the fans turn against them. Somehow the Warriors became the baby face and the Bulls became the heel. It was amazing the turn as Tommy Edwards makes the introductions and introduces all the Bulls, and then you see the Warriors go up and score 44 points in the first quarter, and then the crowd just turned and they were rooting for Klay Thompson to shoot the basketball as often as possible because they want to see history. Do you really want that in your building? Do you really want that? Think about that for a second. Think about if you're in ownership and your team is getting beat down and the team is rooting for the other team. The fans are rooting for the other team, where even the Bulls were looking over down the bench, looking at the Warriors and kind of like, wow. Even they were in awe of how great Klay Thompson and how great the Warriors were. Even the bench looking down the other side, they were surprised. They were in awe of it. Yeah, I guess so. Because if you take a look at how some of the Bulls, how they were trying to defend or really didn't defend, it was almost like they were just there watching like the fans. Just a cursory hand up, just a little bit of a half hand up to let Klay Thompson shoot over you again and again and again. It's amazing. No amount of effort would have changed that calculus of all those players that the Warriors run at you. And the Bulls on the other side. And as Joe Colley wrote in the Sun-Times today, the whole idea of this season, and I think we all know this, but I just want to put this out there. The whole idea this season was for Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and Zach LaVine to play together and gel. It didn't happen much last season. So here was the chance to see some growth. So far, all they've bonded over are rehab schedules and orthopedic braces. It's very well written and so true and sad at the same time. Because all this season was about Dunn, Markkanen, and LaVine. And look at how the Bulls have played so far. You know, I've asked many times, and I'll ask again because this is a great opportunity to do this now. I've asked you many times, like, what's the plan? What is the plan? I asked you this summer, what's the plan? What are the Bulls trying to accomplish here? You see, I know bad teams. I see bad teams on the NBA package. I know what bad teams look like. Bad teams are usually the ones that already have their space reserved in Secaucus for the NBA lottery. They already have their seat chosen. It's already taken care of. They know exactly where they're going to sit because they're in the same spot every single year. You know the bad teams. You know the great teams. There's always having a nice long run in the playoffs. But then there's those teams in the middle. And I don't know what the Bulls are trying to accomplish. Are they trying to get to the middle? Are they trying to get to the bottom so they can get more draft picks? Let me just tell you. No matter how you look at this season, however it ends up, if you have the same culture as an organization, if it doesn't change, then the view doesn't change as a team. What I mean is that if free agents look at Chicago as, nah, I'll pass, I'd rather go to Oklahoma City, I'd rather go to Orlando, I'd rather go to Houston, I'd rather go to Dallas, I'd rather go to some of the, if you don't have a culture that says, yeah, you should come here because you have a great opportunity to really enhance what we do, to really make us better, and free agents are passing you up, then that means the culture is the same. If the culture is the same, the results are the same. You have young or you got brooding veterans like Jabari Parker, who doesn't even want to talk to the media afterwards. Way to lead, Jabari. I mean, you're getting a second chance here after the injuries in Milwaukee. You come here and someone asks you, you know, how does this happen? Why did you lose tonight? And he says, well, the other team scored more points than we did. Great job, Jabari. Great job. I'm not here to defend. Great job. So you want to be honest. Well, here's some honesty for you. Okay, whether you put a hand up, whether you're sitting in a lawn chair, whether you give your best defensive effort, you still aren't good enough. You're still not good enough. And so in that permeates throughout the entire roster. He, along with other veterans and some of the young players in this team, isn't good enough until they are able to gel and come together. And when is that going to be? If you set a culture of giving up 92 points in the first half, if that's your culture and the coach says, well, you just didn't give enough energy, didn't give enough effort. He said the same thing against Charlotte. We just got to give it. It's the same old, same old. Here's what I need. I need for the Bulls to put Fred Hoiberg out of his misery. Because it is very clear that he is frustrated with this situation. He's not frustrated every first and 15th. He's happy with the check. I mean, who wouldn't be, right? They need to put him out of his misery. And I don't care if it's Randy Brown. I don't care if it's Pete Myers. I don't care who coaches this team next because it doesn't matter. But you need to get Fred out of his misery and get him out of here. And then from there, because Fred's gone, there's probably going to be other changes made too in the front office. That needs to also happen because the view is going to be the same. If you remember the 90s and you remember the good times of the 1990s, those championship runs, even the late 80s, just to be able to taste a championship was fun. The Bulls are so far from that now. It's just not going to happen with this front office. It's not going to happen with these players. Because they're just really spinning their wheels at this point in time. What they're doing now as an organization, based on its roster, is that they're just keeping the lights on at the United Center. And that ain't good enough. The lights on at the United Center is just not good enough. And so let's open the phone lines, Felix, at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. I need to talk to obviously Bears fans about with Kyle Long and get your thoughts about Kyle Long being out. How does that hurt or help the Bears in any kind of way? Because I think that even with Kyle Long out, if they come together, I think they're going to be okay, especially against the Bills. We're going to see what happens with the Lions, but I think they're going to be okay. So Bears fans, I want to open the phone lines to you because a leader is now down because of injury. But I also want to talk to you, the Bulls fan, about what is going on with this basketball team. I just want to know your thoughts about what you have seen so far. And is there any hope that you see? Because I want to talk about this a little bit more because we got to unpack some things here with this organization and with this team. Because this is not going in the right direction. It's just not. Even early on, with all the injuries and everything else, it's not going in the right direction. So I want to get your thoughts on your thoughts on the Bulls and their loss against the Warriors and just the organization of the Bulls. What stands out most? I'm going to get your phone calls in here coming up next. We're going to be guest-free this first hour, and then we've got Gerard Cherry coming up at 8:10. So I want to keep the first hour open for you. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Any solutions? Any solutions when it comes to this Bulls team? And your thoughts on the Bears as well. As you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
I gotta stay fly till I die. I gotta stay fly till I die. I gotta stay fly till I die. I gotta stay.
Jonathan Hood with you on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with me here. Keeping you company until 10 o'clock. We will have some college football conversation with Trevor Maddich coming up at 9:10 right here on ESPN 1000. 2 hours from now, Malika Andrews, who covers the Bulls in the NBA, will be with me at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I look forward to also Tales from the Hood coming up in an hour from now at 8:35. We'll talk about the weird and wacky in the world of everything coming up at 8:35 here on ESPN 1000. If you're just joining me, we're talking about, obviously, the Bears being without Kyle Long, according to Ian Rappaport, 6 to 8 weeks with an injury, and hope the best for Kyle Long as a guy that really is strong for this Bears offense, strong just as a personality in that locker room. So we're talking about that. Also, talking about the Bulls and their embarrassing loss against the Golden State Warriors. And that's just embarrassing. Just you see a team that just let down, just without will. And it's one thing to lose. There's plenty of teams that lose in this league. This team's going to lose 60 games or more this year. But it's the way the Bulls lost at home and how the fans turned on the Bulls, and rightfully so, because of lack of effort. Now, I'm not going to go Norm Van Leer on you, and I love Norm, but you're not going to just knock somebody down with a forearm smash like the WWE. I'm not saying that, but you have to be able to let Klay Thompson and some of these Warriors know that you're out there. You know, sports is physical, and I know that in some sports and for some teams, that physicality is not part of it. It's just about the freedom of movement. Do whatever you want to do, just so I can get my shot. You do what you want to do, I do what I want to do. But that's not basketball. It's just not. And the way the Bulls played was very disappointing yesterday. They were going to lose the game. Clearly, they were going to lose the game against the Warriors. They're the champs. They're the best. It's just the way that they played. And whether you are G League quality, whether you are NBA quality, you got to have some pride. And I think that with Fred Hoiberg, and this is the first time, by the way, and Sean, you can back me up on, I don't think I've said this before this season, but it's just, you just have to let him go and get a new voice in there. And actually, the new voice probably is someone that's already on that bench, so it's really the same voice that players have heard. But it just, that's just not, it's not working. It's just not working, because if you, even with injuries, even with the issues, I just think it's best for Fred and his health.
Anybody but Uncle Pete.
No, wrong, because if you know the Bulls, Pete Myers will have that job until he dies. He'll be on a gurney and still coaching from the sidelines. So Pete Myers will always be there. Same thing as Randy Brown. If you've been in the city, you know that it's about loyalty, right? Those guys have been loyal to the organization, so Pete Myers will be there. It's tough right now. It really is. Whether they were fully healthy or whether they're hurt, it's just not good. So I'm asking you, how do you see the Bulls? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Let me get to the Dan Ryan. Here is Mario on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. Hello, Mario.
Jonathan, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
So, the thing, you got a tale of two cities with the Bears and the Bulls here. I called about the Bulls. You know, they have a lack of leadership within the clubhouse. Player to player, they have no respect for one another. They're not showing any cohesiveness, you know. They played a team yesterday where a guy like Curry, who's a professional guard, and he's dishing the ball to Thompson knowing that he's going to beat his record. That's a teammate. That's a team playing together. Not, where's my shot? What am I doing? And that's a give a response so flippant that they're showing that they don't care. There is no control. There's no leadership. They have no respect for Hoiberg. And they're so caught up in their own mentality that they are so great because they are professional basketball players. And yet, to a T, none of them have accomplished anything. And unlike the Bears, somebody goes down like Long, there's still respect for him. And the next man will step up and do what he's got to do because there is some sense of professional attitude and we've got something here. We're going to build on it because the Bears are young too. But there is respect in that clubhouse and there is respect of the head coach.
Mario,
respect,
like,
you're not going to have a team.
Yeah, I agree with you and I appreciate your phone call. I think that Mario is correct when it comes to respect and having a conversation and being able to have respect coaches and players. Now, I understand the NBA is a players league. That's very clear. I understand that. But at the same time, you have to be able to establish rapport with your players. There's an issue already going on with a couple of players and Fred Hoiberg. We saw this last year. We saw the last couple of years with there's a problem with the coaching staff and the players. Come on now. Come on now. You can't. That can't happen. If you're a cohesive unit, this does not happen. But clearly they are not. See, Fred puts on a good face. That's why he's the mayor. Puts on a good face because he's a good face for a franchise. But as far as being able to communicate to the players and for them to be able to buy in, I mean, look, you can always be, it can be very difficult when you lose a lot of games. But man, if you're not trying to get the most out of players. It's not about clapping your hands. It's not about stomping your feet. It's not about yelling at players. It's not about that. But if you just can't connect to your players, you're not going to last long in this league. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Mario, we leave a line open for you. We thank you for checking in. We go to Eddie in Norwood Park on ESPN 1000. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Jonathan. It's the first time I've been on with you. I have like so much stuff to say, but anyways,
go ahead.
Here's
Thanks
the main
for checking
thing.
In.
The only thing that is going to change in the NBA is we have to change the draft in the first place. When we get to at the end of the year, we have the teams that make the playoffs and the teams that don't make the playoffs. The teams that don't make the playoffs, the team that with the worst record doesn't get rewarded. The team with the best record out of the worst teams get rewarded with the most balls. This way, all the teams try. They want to win. This way, you don't have teams that are dumping things and everything. It's so hard in the NBA. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I grew up with Jordan through the 6 championships. I have them all on VHS and everything. And the thing is there was a superstar that stayed with their teams, and they brought players, and they draft players in. Now superstars are just bolting everywhere just to put a team together. I mean, Durant going to a Golden State, I can't even tell you how sick that was for me just to see that. For him not to stay with Russell Westbrook and maybe draft another player that can get them a championship. I mean, this is a thing for the commissioner to look at. That even if you play my tape and my call to him, this is what needs to be done in the NBA. This way, teams that are just on the verge get better.
Well, let me address some of this, and I appreciate your telephone call. When you are a free agent, you are free to go wherever you choose to, Eddie, And even though you may long for the Stern administration as the NBA commissioner, where there was a star in every market, that's cool. But you can't tell me that Reggie Miller today in 2018 would say, you know what, Indianapolis, I'm going to stay there as long as possible because I trust the GM. I trust ownership to be able to get me a championship. They're going to give me everyone I need to get to a championship. That doesn't work like that today. See, generational wealth is already there for the NBA. And so now these young players are about legacy. They don't want to leave this league without having a championship ring. And I admire them for that. But when it comes to free agency, see, it's one thing to try to force a trade like Jimmy Butler or like Kyrie Irving. That's like, no, I want out. And you're going to push your way out of a team. You have a right to do that. It may not be the greatest thing in the world from a optic standpoint. But man, when it comes to free agency, if a free agent says, I want to get out of this city and I want to play someplace else, they have a right to do that. So now you're trying to go up against free agency. And I just think that that's wrong. Kevin Durant gave good years to Oklahoma City, good years to Russell Westbrook as the beta personality on that team. And so he looked at a situation and said, boy, after all these years, can't get to a championship, I'm going to go to the Warriors. He had every right to do that. And whether you criticize him or not, it doesn't matter. I know it matters to him, but it doesn't matter to me, because if you're free to go someplace else, you play wherever you want to play. So, and with Russell Westbrook, the book is not written yet, but I look forward to seeing at the end of Russell Westbrook's career, whether one, he stays Oklahoma City his entire career, or two, he wins a championship in that market. Because no matter Paul George saying, I'm going to stay and stay with my buddy Russell Westbrook, that guarantees nothing as far as the championship is concerned. There might have been something with Russell in which Durant said, I can't seem to get my game to where I want it to be. I can't win with this guy. I'm moving on. He has a right to do that. Any free agent has a right to do that. So in our Bulls conversation, Eddie wanted to talk about free agency and wanted to talk about bad teams getting an opportunity so often in the lottery. I mean, to me, Eddie, free agency, remember the term free when it comes to free agency. Matt is on 55. He's with me here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Jonathan. I really appreciate your candor and your analysis of this Bulls team, because we need more people saying it like it is. Last night was such a disgusting loss. Again, like you mentioned, not that they lost, but it's how they lost. And I hold the coach responsible. You sign a player like Jabari Parker, who flat out says, I don't play defense. And he makes minimal effort on the court. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing to watch him guard anybody. The only thing these players care about is their next contract. So I don't understand why Jabari Parker has not been benched. You need to bench him. You need to send a message to this team that if you're not putting in 100%, you're not getting time. And if you're not getting time, guess what? You're not going to get paid. When they created this team, they said, well, we're going to create this team in Fred's image, and we're going to run, and we're going to shoot, we're going to try and emulate the offense of the Warriors. Well, there's a big difference. The Warriors have talent and have pride. Bulls have minimal talent, except for a couple guys, your Levines and your Markkanens. But they have no pride, and I believe it is the coach's responsibility to instill some sort of pride in the team. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you are correct, Matt, and I appreciate your telephone call. And just to piggyback on that, Sean, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Chicago's own Jabari Parker. Okay. He might be, and here's the thing, saw him in Milwaukee, but then he had so many injuries, and I didn't read or listen to his quotes because he was on the floor enough for me to care, right?
Right.
Might be a little bit too real for the market.
Very honest. Very honest.
It might be a little bit like if you come to your first press conference and say that, or one of your first press conferences, say that defense is not anything that he's really thinking about, it really doesn't matter as much. I mean, you might think that, But you probably shouldn't say that out front, especially with the, again, young teammates around you, because all they're going to look at Jabari Parker is like, well, if he says the defense doesn't matter, then why should I play it?
And it's amazing because 2 weeks later, or shall I say a month later, Draymond Green says the exact same thing and talks about how referees in the preseason told them that there's no longer emphasis on defense in the league. He said this. I think it's the messenger. You have a guy like Draymond that's a defensive player of the year. They take that with a grain of salt. Somebody like Jabari, who's known for lacking in defense going back to high school, yeah, it just doesn't come across the same way.
I just wouldn't have said it.
Yeah, it wasn't a good idea. I mean, you're brand new here. It's just not a good idea.
Well, and I see your point is like, others are saying it because they're hearing it from other places. I just wouldn't have said it because it just sends a bad message. That tells young players in the roster, don't worry about the defensive end. But then when you don't even have the shooting touch to get it done on the offensive end, then what, then you're really stuck. So I don't like that he's ducked out of, I believe, 3 or 4 press conferences already after losses. I know at least 3 or 4. Where, if you're on this team and you're a veteran, you got to say something. Don't just be there for the wins. Be there for the entire time. And then when he was there yesterday, he gave like 2 or 3 word answers. That's brutal. Yeah.
It's the spirit of Jimmy that he left behind.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. If you're going to be out of here after this season, and maybe it doesn't matter to some teams, but good teams will look at that and be like, man, if you can't even represent yourself, then no thanks. So what, he's going to be in Sacramento next year? That's some great Sacramento King nonsense right there, what he's doing. Bad teams represent themselves that way. So I we'll take more of your phone calls coming up. Do you have any answers about the Bulls? Did you watch that last night? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
If you're on hold, you will be on the air. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Coming up, we will hear from Gerard Cherry, his thoughts about what's going on in Cleveland. You think your teams are bad? What about Cleveland? Oh, wait until I lay this out for you. We'll get to do a wellness check with our guy from ESPN Cleveland. Also, Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We got a special interview for Tales from the Hood as well. All part of the mix right here on UTA.
As I combine all the juice from the mind, heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.